Hey, what's up, everybody?
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys had a good New Year's.
Jenny's been frustrated all day.
God damn it.
I know, everything's gone wrong.
Well, here's the thing. Well, this is why, okay, so one of the reasons that we're doing the show at 5 instead of 3 like we normally would is because you said you wanted to go for a motorcycle ride.
Yeah, and go by the biker
bar. And go by the biker bar, you wanted more time to do it because you didn't get up until noon.
Yeah. I do what I do.
So, I know, I'm just saying. Okay. But so, I mean, I've been up since 8:30, so to me, it seemed like you're...
Anyway,
yeah, so he goes there, and then it turned out that they were closing early because of a friend of theirs, like, died, and they were doing, a wake or something.
Yeah.
So, he came back early, but then he was like, oh, well, I ate at the Mexican restaurant, and I was like, well, I was thinking about ordering some Domino's, which you already ate, so I'll get some Domino's. So, I called Domino's at, like... 2:45. And just ordered like a sandwich and a salad and some shit, and they were like, oh, well, you know, the deliveries are kind of behind today. And I was like, okay, whatever, that's fine. And then it's hours and hours and hours went by, and I'm just kind of like, are you guys still bringing the food or what's going on? And so I have not eaten anything, so I'm getting really hangry right now. I haven't eaten a single thing like all day today. I've had one cup of coffee and that's it.
Yeah, there's food in the house. Could have gone in and got some.
I know, but it's like, no, I was, well, you ate out. I was, I wanted to eat out too. I was like, oh, I want to, you know, eat something different. So I was like, oh, it's kind of sound, I, you know, salad and sandwich kind of sounded good. And I was like, and they'll bring it, but then they didn't bring it.
Delicious Mexican fajitas.
Yeah, so it's like, no. So I don't know what I'm going to do now.
Made by real authentic Mexicans.
I'm going to have to, like, just go down and get some Chinese food or something. You know?
We'll take you somewhere. Get you something that wants to show us.
Because, man, that's, like, lame.
I got invited to a birthday party, too.
Whose birthday?
Some chick named Cowgirl got fucking, I got.
That's invited. Her name, Cowgirl?
Cowgirl. She's a biker girl. I got invited to Cowgirl's 70th birthday party.
Her 70th birthday party.
Yeah, she was there. She was handing out flyers. I'm going to invite you to my birthday party. Is that all right?
Is it at the bar?
It's at her farm.
Oh, okay.
She's got fucking cows and horses and shit. And she said... And she said her husband used to have the birthday. She used to have it, you know, she used to have oysters, a big oyster event on her birthday. But he died. So then she transferred it to her birthday party, you know, every year. So she hands out all these flyers, goes to all the fucking biker bars and all the bikes. She says, you can camp there. There's going to be bands. You can bring your own booze. They got.
Are you going to go?
I don't know.
It might be
she fun. Was cool. It's going to be country music. You know how it is.
Yeah.
It's going to make me listening to Free Bird every 20 minutes and shit.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, and the fucking... But she's handing out flyers, and some of those guys are, oh, yeah, I went to your last one, you know. But it's just old. But she had her damn bandana on and her fucking fingerless gloves, and she's 70 on her fucking Harley. But, you know, that's cool. That's what they do.
Whatever.
That's what they do. She said, all right. You can shoot, and you can. She's got a place where you can go shooting there, and you got everything, you know. And you can camp there. She says they don't have a shower, but she has a bathroom.
Well, that's good.
Well, most of those farms.
What they do, like, dig a latrine out there?
No. most barns have plumbing. You've been there when I worked.
Yeah, I know.
They got plumbing.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's what she's talking about.
Yeah. All right. So since we're already late and I'm starving, let's talk about the movie. So, this is Willard from 1971. Somebody asked earlier, didn't they make a sequel to this called Ben? Yes, they did. And Michael Jackson had that song about it. It was in the movie. That song. That was 1972. Willard is 1971. Now, they also remade Willard in 2003, I think it was, early 2000s, with Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Which... I actually saw that one fairly recently. I've seen it a couple times. I'm going to say this might be one of the very few situations that I like the remake better than the original. The original's pretty good, but I don't know if I would call it a horror movie necessarily, because even though it's ostensibly a killer rat movie, the rats are so damn cute that they really don't they don't really come off as like scary or threatening.
Yeah, I'm going to go as far to say that this wasn't a good movie.
I mean, and, well, it could be just me, too, because I'm not afraid of rats. Like, I actually quite like rats. Yeah. So they are not scary to me, like, even in large quantities. So maybe that's what it was too. But just, you know what I mean? Like the, you know, the rats are cute. So I was just kind of like, it'd be like Attack of the Killer Hamsters kind of. Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking.
I guess. Call it what you, to me, the movie was very much kind of like, it's early 70s.
Yeah, 71.
But it feels like almost early 60s, the way the movie's filmed. It's pretty canned. The acting is just not good. It's just very generic to me. And it's not scary. It's not a horror movie. It's not... I could see how... Okay, when I first heard about this, I was a kid. And I heard people, you know, kids on the playground, like you're in the third and fourth grade, talking about this damn movie. When this movie really wasn't all that old during the times I'm talking about, maybe 77, 76 when I heard about this. And they would talk about this, like this is some kind of frightening-ass fucking subversive movie that your parents wouldn't let you watch type deal. This is bad shit. There really wasn't anything to it.
Yeah, there's no gore. No. There's not. And honestly, like even some of the like rat attacks and stuff like that are just like, mostly the rats are just kind of like to fuck shit up. It's like they don't really kill anybody until the end.
Psycho's much better and much older. And they were showing that on television when I was a kid. And I fucking love Psycho and it scared me. You know, like, whoa, you know, weird shit. This one is just... It's kind of...
It's okay, but it's not a horror movie.
Yeah, and you don't really know what they're talking about. It's kind of culturally distant. You don't know if they're trying to kind of creatively tell you that he's gay, that the main character...
Well, he wasn't, though, because he was interested in the temp that he worked with. Yeah, that's played by Sandra Locke.
But was he? It's hard to tell. I guess he was supposed to be. They were just trying to make a guy... They're trying to portray this kid as being... weird and very frustrating.
He was just awkward.
And it doesn't really work, not today's standards. You know, they haven't, they don't know weird kids like we know them today. You know? Fuck.
He just comes across as just socially awkward and sort of like passive and introverted. That's kind of more what they were trying to get across, I think. But yeah, Bruce Davison plays Willard. This was actually based on a book called Ratman's Notebooks. And so he plays this kind of, he's supposed to be in his late 20s, right? I think he's like 27 or 28. And I guess what ended up happening, he lives in this big old rambling house with his mom, who's played by Elsa Lanchester of A Bride of Frankenstein fame. I didn't even realize she was still alive, like in the early 1970s. She's quite old, but she plays his mom. And she's just your stereotypical, you know, oh my God, why can't you be like this and why can't you do it? She's a piece of work. And so he lives there, and I guess what happened was that their dad had started this manufacturing company, and after the dad died, his partner, I'm assuming, who's played by Ernest Borgnine, took over the company and essentially like took most of their money. And then he's sort of like, I don't know if he demoted Willard to some kind of lowly position, but he's always like, he's always kind of like shitting on the kid. And then like Willard and all Willard's mom's like cantankerous old people friends are always kind of like telling him, you need to be more aggressive and you need to tell that guy what for and you need to do this and that and the other thing. So it's kind of this whole like bad situation where everyone's telling him that he's not, you know, he's not good enough or whatever. And so then like the house is falling apart and then his mom's bitching about that. Like, why don't you fix this and why don't you fix that and why don't you do this and all this other shit. And so then like there are some rats in the backyard and he befriends them, and then before too long he has a whole bunch of them and he has them kind of trained. So then he starts like sending them out to like cause chaos
as if that's a thing
at people's parties, like who he doesn't like and shit like that,
as if that's possible.
Well, you know, rats aren't very smart.
Yeah, but if this was possible, people would be doing it.
I would totally be doing it. This is like some cool supervillain shit right here.
Kind of strange credulity. You know, that the rats remember things and that the rats know what the hell's going on and they obey commands. It's just not. It's a storytelling device. You know, it's something that you can sell a movie on, be good in a movie poster, but it's just not done right where you would believe it. You know, Not in this version. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing the Crispin Glover version. Maybe
I actually better. The Crispin Glover one, I remember that being much more horror themed. It's much darker.
Yeah.
It's weird because I saw Willard as a kid, and I remembered some shit about it. Like, I remember it's kind of stood out to me, and that's why I wanted to kind of see it again, because I saw that they had it up for free on Amazon Prime. The interesting thing about the original Willard is that, as I said, it's not really, it's listed as a horror movie, but it's not really. It's kind of more a drama, sort of, with almost like comedic elements, but it's almost all like shot in the daytime, so there's not really any, you know, there's not really that many kind of scary scenes of like, ooh, like the rats coming out of, or I don't know. It just all seemed, especially when he like releases all the rats at Ernest Borgnine's party, that's just almost played for laughs. Like, it's almost like farcical, because it's just kind of like all these rats running around all over this food and everybody wigging out and trying to hit him with brooms and shit. So there's that. So it's almost kind of like funny. Until you get to the end when, and honestly, like I said, the rats only kill one person, right? I mean, they only kill Ernest Borgnine at the end, yeah. You know, which that's a pretty effective scene. But honestly, that's kind of the only one that has any kind of like horror or suspense kind of adjacent thing to it. Up to then, it was pretty much just kind of like almost funny, you know?
It's just generationally, it just didn't get me. And to me, it just felt a lot like, it almost felt like Rebel Without a Cause, but with rats.
But with rats.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell you what Rebel Without a Cause is about. You know, if like my parents' generation, they fucking loved the movie. I watched it, and I really didn't have anything to take away from it. I didn't really get anything out of it. This movie kind of was like that for me. It's like, okay, it's kind of like Rebel Without a Cause, but this guy's got rats, and they're going to kill people and get vengeance. It's just not effectively shown. The story's not effectively told or shown. It's almost kind of like has a Star Trek kind of sequel. No, not Star Trek. It almost kind of felt like an old episode of Adam 12 or something, if you know what that is. It felt like old TV.
Yeah, I kind of, like a lot of movies in the 70s that weren't kind of like big, like auteur movies kind of feel like that to me, I guess. And the director of this, Daniel Mann, he actually did a lot of really good, he did a lot of movies that were kind of based on plays, like Tea House of the August Moon and stuff. And he also did Butterfield 8, wasn't Elizabeth Taylor in that? And he made Our Man Flint, which actually I quite liked, in 1966. It's kind of like a spy parody. He did that. So he did like a shit ton of movies and stuff. This one, I don't know. It just seemed like it took a while. I don't know. I kept waiting for it to get scary. Maybe I feel like the sequel to this, Ben, I'm sure I saw that too. Maybe that one was scarier than this one, and maybe I'm confusing the two because I saw them so long ago. If anybody's seen Ben recently, let me know, because I kind of feel like some of the scenes that I thought were from this were maybe from that one, and maybe that one is scarier. The only thing, like, one thing that really kind of upset me when I was watching this was the two, I mean, Willard has, like, a shit ton of rats, but there's two that he has that are his particular favorites, one of which is Ben, and one of which is Socrates, who's like a white rat. And he takes those two to work, and like he hides them in the file room or whatever. And somebody finds them, and Ernest Borgnine, he actually ends up killing Socrates, and that like really upset me, because like... You know what I mean? Because you know how I am about, like, animals and movies? And I know it's not real and shit like that, but he's, like, poking at the rat, and it's, like, all covered with blood, and I was like, no, not Socrates. So I was, like, way more into the rats, I guess, than the people.
Yeah.
And,
I see.
Because the rats were cute as shit, I thought. I was like, ooh, look at them. They can do all these, like, little tricks, and they're, like, running inside his bag and going to work with him. I'm like, that's darling. They're not scary.
No.
They're adorable.
Yeah, well, there's something about just the acting and just the formatting of this movie. It's a movie of its time, and it just didn't do anything for me.
I didn't love it. Yeah. You know, it kept my interest, but it was, there was definitely a little something weird about it that I couldn't really put my finger on. Honestly, the Crispin Glover one, you would probably dig that because, well, Crispin Glover is always fun to watch because he's weird as shit. And I think that they went more full on into the weird horror thing in the remake, where I feel like the original was kind of supposed to be a horror movie, like killer rat movie, but it wasn't really a horror movie. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have hardly any horror elements to it.
Which defeated the purpose.
Yeah, it's just kind of like...
I thought the movie was tame and just kind of boring.
Yeah, like, it wasn't real gory. Like I said, the rats only killed one person, and it didn't really get, like, even remotely dark until the end. You know what I mean? When Ernest Borgnine's character gets killed by the rats, and then... Willard is like, oh shit, now he's got to like get rid of all these rats, I guess, because he doesn't want to get blamed. So he starts like drowning them and stuff. So that was like upsetting. But up to that, it just seemed like most of it was him kind of like playing with the rats and interacting with the rats and kind of maybe trying to get together with this temp that works at his office, who's played by Sandra Locke, who was married to Clint Eastwood for a little while, I think, back in the old days. But yeah, so a lot of it was that, and then a lot of it was like Ernest Borgnine, and I love Ernest Borgnine. I think he's probably, him and the rats were the best part of this, but Ernest Borgnine going around just being a total, like, fucking shit weasel to everybody, that was, like, pretty funny. But I don't know, like, and it was just, I don't know, it the whole, like, relationship was weird, too, between Willard and his mom. Like, she, like, his mom was really weird. And then, like, he had all those friends. Like, his mom had that weird friend that was, like, a real busybody, and she kept, like, just fucking showing up at the house. And, oh, by the way, your mom died, so I'm gonna be over here, like, going through all your shit. You know what I mean? Because he had, like, all kind of financial problems and shit. So that, the movie goes a lot into that. You know what I'm saying? But somebody said earlier that they had read the book, and that there's a lot, that the books are actually really good. There's a lot of, like, psychological backstory in there. I kind of feel like this needed more of that. You know what I mean? I mean, it just kind of, it didn't really go into his psychology, and he didn't seem that weird to me. He's not, like, Crispin Glover weird.
No.
He was just a little bit awkward. He was just, like, a little bit shy. He wasn't, like, evil mastermind or nothing.
He's not that good of an actor.
Maybe that's what it is. I think he got better because he was in some other shit later on when he was a little bit older.
Yeah.
This might have been like one of his very...
They're trying to do like some weird guy, but he doesn't really come off as a weird guy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He didn't really come off as that weird. So he wasn't really all that threatening. And then rats are not threatening because they were cute and smart and everything. So I kind of feel like it was just that... I feel like they should have focused, if they wanted to make it, like, scary or, like, suspenseful, they should have, like, shifted the focus onto, you know, something else. What was that other killer rap movie? Was it Food of the Gods?
Yeah, they got big in that one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That was based up, well, very loosely based on an H.G. Wells story. Which was also, didn't they do, they did a movie on Mystery Science Theater where those teenagers got really big.
Yeah.
That's right. What the fuck was that called? That was also very loosely based on Food of the Gods.
Like I said, the movie's very 1960s feel to me. And in the 1960s, their idea of trying to tell a story of a weird teenager is basically you're going to end up with Chekhov from Star Trek or like somebody like the Monkees. You know, Robert Nesmith from the Monkees. You're going to say, oh, that's so weird. No, he's not. It's just...
Well, it
they
just
didn't really have a
it
good
might
frame
be,
of reference.
That yeah, was. That's what I was going to say. I just feel like back then, everybody in a movie, you didn't have to be that weird for everybody to be like, weird.
Ooh, weird.
Nowadays, you got to go way out there with the weirdness because otherwise people's like, yeah, and?
Yeah, their version of weird is that you have a bowl haircut. You know?
Right. It's just, it's funny because.
And you say, man, you know, hey, what's up, man? Oh, you're weird.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because I see some movies from, like, the 60s, like you said, from, you know, that were on Mystery Science Theater that have, like, you know, people that were, like, beatniks or something, and they're talking about, like, how weird or how countercultural these people are. I'm like, not really. Yeah. I mean, they're not really that different than a normal person.
Yeah.
I can't even, if I saw, like, two of them walking down next to, like, a square and, like, a fucking beatnik or whatever, it's like...
It would make a difference.
It would, yeah. I mean, nowadays you wouldn't really know the difference, but I guess back then it was a big deal. So I think that's maybe what it was, because the guy didn't, he just came across as like a little shy and introverted. He didn't come across as like a weirdo or anything. You know, he was just like a little bit.
Yeah. Now, the Norman Bates character kind of came across as pretty weird, but not unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, you can believe that.
Yeah.
That's what made him, that was a good character.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Perkins did a fucking great job of doing, because he came across as really weird, like there's something the matter with this dude, but also kind of sympathetic, and like you could see how somebody could, you know, would want to be friends with him, or because he seemed like nice, but because he didn't seem creepy, but I don't know, it's kind
of a lot of people have forgotten that every one of those Psycho movies is good. There's like four of them or five of them.
Yeah, we didn't we do a I think we did a review on all four of them, because I think I bought them because I told you, I was like, if you seen the first one, I was like, all of them are good.
Yeah, that you think that they get what you think that it would get bad as they went. They do. No,
they're all totally worth watching.
And like the last two were like some of the best ones.
Honestly, I think the second one is my favorite, but out of the sequels, I mean, obviously the first one's my favorite, but I mean, the second one is so, so good.
The only other series that was like that was Phantasm.
Phantasm, yeah.
Phantasm got better as it went.
Where every single one of them was like worth watching. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because usually after the second or third one, you're just like, fuck it, you don't need to see it anymore. Yeah. But yeah, those ones I think.
Well, those are creations of love. Fucking Phantasm. That was the creation. I think one of them was done by a studio. I think that was two or three.
Two. Was done by a studio. And it was still good.
Still good. And then it reverted back to the property owner, and fucking he did a great job with them.
I mean, gotta love Reg.
Yeah, and Reg fucking was a character that actually grew, and that Reg actually had a mythos, and there's a lore to the movies, and fucking Phantasm is a masterpiece. You just don't hear much about it because they're indie films. They're not big studio films.
Camp Guy just tells a great story. He says, one of my best friends, old man, looked like Anthony Perkins, tall, dark, and skinny. He had a lady scream and faint in a bank when she saw him right after the movie came out. Oh my god. Grandpa's Hammer also said, there's a Bates Motel in Yale, Oregon. I always was afraid to stay there. They should go full on with the like Norman Bates experience. You know what I mean? Like, don't actually kill the people, obviously, like that are staying there. But you could do like some cool shit, like have people kind of creeping around outside, and you could stay. But I mean, you know, you could advertise it as that. It's like, oh, get the psycho experience, like stay in this hotel and make it look the same and stuff. I would stay there. That would be cool. All right, so are we gonna like wrap it up? Cause,
yeah, we can wrap it up.
Because like I said. I'm so hungry, but yeah, I haven't eaten all day long, and I'm just like, so I'm getting hangry. But yeah, so if you want to watch Willard, if you haven't seen it in a long time, it's on Amazon Prime for free. I think it's also on Tubi for free. So check it out, and we will be back tomorrow talking about another movie. So have a good rest of your weekend, you guys, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.